Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, bottom of 19. Devotional service to his lotus feet is the root cause of all perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, and in the subterranean regions and on earth. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.81.19. It is further explained by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. In spite of his condemning persons who approach the Lord for material advantages, Kardama Muni expressed his material inability and desire before the Lord by saying, quote, although I know that nothing material should be asked from you, I nevertheless desire to marry a girl of like disposition, end quote. The phrase, like disposition, is very significant. Formerly, boys and girls of similar dispositions were married. The similar natures of the boy and girl were united in order to make them happy. Kardama Muni wanted to have a wife of like disposition because a wife is necessary to assist in spiritual and material advancement. It is said that a wife yields the fulfillment of all desires in religion, economic development, and sense gratification. If one has a nice wife, he is to be considered a most fortunate man. In astrology, a man is considered fortunate who has great wealth, very good sons, or a very good wife. Of these three, one who has a very good wife is considered the most fortunate. Right? Because if the wife is there, the nature is similar, then children and wealth will all come from that. Because if you have wealth, it doesn't mean that the others will come. Right? Does this make sense? So that's the central point. So within the social environment, within the realm of material desire, then the whole point is this relationship between husband and wife. That's the central feature. As we can see from Manu, is that part of the second chapter deals with brahmacharis. And then, you know, then you have basically one chapter that deals, or half a chapter on vanaprastha, half a chapter on sannyas. So basically like 1.5 chapters like that out of 12, right? The rest of it, I mean, then you have creation, right? And then the ending of the law. So then basically you could say is three chapters go to, you know, that's something other than Grihastha Ashram, and 9 chapters on Grihastha Ashram, right? And so the details of these other three are not that great. But then the detail of Grihastha Ashram is very great. So the whole point is the whole material existence is based on this. And then if one's trying to make an endeavor to elevate oneself to a higher position, then it also has that facility. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that he sees that since he has material desire, then he wants to elevate himself beyond that to the spiritual platform. So that's going to happen in cooperation with a wife who has a, what do you call it? Like disposition. Because if the disposition isn't the similar, then how they'll have common goals, common methods, common environments to function from. Does that make sense? So the whole point is love being the basis of it is overrated, because if it really worked, that's what would be going on in the world. It would be working, right? But there's probably, you know, I'm not sure what, but just throwing out something, probably, you know, $1 trillion business just dealing in domestic law,
You know, I would easily, it's probably one of the biggest things in the world. You know what I'm saying? So what does that mean? It means this concept, just because you love, that will make everything work. Does that make sense? I love my toaster. Does that make it work? No, I have to plug it in. It has to be working. I have to put toast in it. Bread in it. Then it's supposed to get toast. Does this make sense? So the whole point is that if there is that natural bond, great. If not, because there's like this disposition, the bond will develop. Right? So the whole point is love's not what makes it happen, because if there's not a similar nature, how you maintain that love? That's not a good place. Put it down here. Otherwise it gets confusing, too many things. Thank you. Yes?
But isn't it that people, they naturally develop more or less same natures or same habits within due course of time?
Of course. But what does that take to do that? Because that's going to happen over due course of time. Like I was one couple that I know of that very much works well together. There's no question of not working together. But I remember the husband telling me after 8 years, he started to get an understanding of his wife's nature. You know, and these are committed people who, you get married, you don't not stay married. They're from that kind of background. Does that make sense? And he's saying he's just now figuring it out. So now what does that take? Okay, 8 years, but now you're probably on your average, a marriage lasts about 3. So that means now there's a shortage of 5 years here. So what's that 5 years made of? Commitment, determination, humility. Does that make sense? Sense of duty, right? So now, without training, it's not going to happen. So that's the problem, is when Prabhupada mentions these things, you know, okay, it's nice, we read by, but this is the reality. The whole thing is like this disposition, if it's there. The point is let us say, just take for some examples, right? And I'm talking about the ones that astrology looks at. What does the house look like? Does the house look like pristine, neat, and clean and tidy? Or does it look like a bomb hit it? Or sometimes like a bomb hit it, sometimes clean. These are 3 standards. Right? Now, if one of them, it's got to be neat and clean, and the other, they're comfortable when a bomb hit it, how are they going to get along? All the love in the world is not going to keep that together. Because every moment you are reminded, you get up, you go, and what does the toothpaste look like? Where's the toothbrush? Where's all the different things? What does the toilet seat lid look like? You know what I'm saying? What about that little rug on the floor, you know? Where is that? What about the towel? And that's first thing in the morning. Then you go to the closet. Then you go to the kitchen. Then you look at the living room. That means 40, 50 times before you've even gotten out the door to go to work or whatever it is, you've been reminded that you do not have a similar nature. Right? And so how much of that can you handle? Right? Does that make sense? And that's just one of the things that astrology looks at. You know what I'm saying? How do you view the world? What are the values? How does your mind function? Like that, because everything you say, wow, this would be great. What do you mean that's great? You know what I'm saying? You know, just like the other day, you say something, oh, here come the monsters, right? So how can you call them monsters? They're children. We love our children. It's like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm this is real. I'm talking, you know, most people and most parents, you tell them, yeah, here are the monsters or the rug rats or the ankle biters or, you know, like that. It's just, you know, the natural thing. And some get so offended. You know, it's just like, you know, kids are a political correctness, not a reality of interaction and relationship. You know what I'm saying? But you put 2 people like that together, they're perfect.
Everything they do for the kid is politically correct. Everything's wonderful. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, then, how does the intelligence work? Is logic important or not? You know, is it just the feelings? Or is it, you know, the feelings there, yeah, I hear you. You know, and that's all, you know, that's the whole thing. Or is it, you know what I'm saying? Or there's a logic and, you know, it makes sense. Does that make sense? You know, the consensuality, you know, how much do they, you know, like to eat good food or do things or, you know, in other words, engage the senses or not. You know, so it's a, hey, let's do that. Oh, that's Maya. You know, how is this going to work? you understand? So this is real life, real time, day to day stuff that either makes it or breaks it in the marriage. It's nothing to do with the butterflies, the sun coming in like that, the music swelling, panning back and getting the broad. You know, it has nothing to do with that. Because if you think, how many moments of that are there? Right?
We don't even remember.
Yes. There was something. You know. Yeah, now you look back and it says, but it's just desert. You know? But it looks so good, right? Does that make sense? So, that's the whole thing. This light disposition, promise bringing out of the whole shloka, this is the important element. Because if that's there, then you have a marriage. Because marriage is about work cooperating together. Husband and wife cooperating together to engage the material desires and to cultivate the spiritual need. Right? So you're dealing with both of that. And cooperating, then they can do something. Right? So it's about teamwork. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. If that's not understood, like this modern scenario, oh, why so much restriction? Why can't everybody just interact? They can do. You want hogs, dogs, camels, and asses? Do that. You want human beings to go back to Godhead? It's got to be like disposition. Because that's the whole thing, is that basically for sense gratification, you can take pretty much a broad range. A majority of men could match with a majority of women. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like you need a science for a one-night stand. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just the bar's boring and somebody's willing to go out with you. You know, you want to leave, they want to leave. Hey, it works. You know? Is that what I'm saying? So it doesn't take much, but to make something that can last a lifetime, now that takes science. That you have to know what you're doing. That's why the Vedas put these restrictions, because you get a better result. That's all. You know what I'm saying? I take the rice. I take one cup of rice. I put 2 cups of water. Right? What do I get? Properly cooked rice. Why am I restricted by all these rules? Why can't I put, you know, 1.5 cups of rice? Why even 1.5? I want 1 7/5. You know? Just to do something different, express myself, be myself. Why am I always controlled? What am I going to get? Yeah, you're going to get something not very good. So that's the whole thing, is due to ignorance, due to attachment, due to hatred, then no one can follow anything, due to ego. That's all. The five principles of illusion triumph, and Kali does well. Does that make sense? So that's why this is so much brought out. Because if they're of similar dispositions, then everything goes perfect. They look at, like I was mentioning before, as I was some high grade Brahmins were explaining about when they arrange marriages, and I've heard this from others also, you know, from cultured families. You know, there's an idea that two families would get together. So first they just, what they're checking is the environment. Because if the environment's not good, it's just like this. Let's say you want to have a party, right? Then let's say at some program somewhere. First you go and check the place. Right? Check the place, check the caterer, check everything. And if it's all right, then you go ahead with it. Not that you just crash in on the place and then find out it's totally unsuitable. Right? You always start with the place. So first they go and see the place. Where they live, how they live. So everybody's there, nice and smiling and everything like that, but they're checking everything out. Like you said, you know, the lady's going to the kitchen and all this. And he says the point they start with is they pick up the spoon. You know the stainless steel spoon? And you know how the back is like curved? So there's that spot where the bowl meets the handle. And right there, if you don't know how to clean, it's always dirty. So that's the first thing they do is just look at that. And if it's not clean, that's it. I mean, they'll be pleasant the rest of the evening, but that, there's no question they'll even go farther. Because that's the point, is we're at this level of standard of cleanliness. If they're not, it's just going to be a fight. Because the point is, I'm just being natural. Why is it I always got to be clean? Like that. Does that make sense? And that, every day, day in, day out, is going to break the marriage. So that's the thing, is that there's this idea of just because I want it, it's perfect. But that's just attachment. Right? And attachment comes from ego. So that's it, because the false ego is so great, I'm so perfect, then if I'm attached to something, it'll be perfect, because I'm perfect. So this is these are the discussions that nobody likes to have. You're going to have a get together and a hostage. Like, no one's going to talk this stuff, right? It's very rare someone's going to talk this stuff. So that's the thing. So if there's like disposition, then they naturally are together. Then you have all these things. The wife yields fulfillment of all desires in religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Because the point is then she's inspired, so she wants things. And because he's inspired, he wants to get those things. Right? And so it all happens. Otherwise, if no one's inspired, nothing gets anywhere. So Gaudama Muni, understanding this, doesn't want it to go wrong. So now who's he asking? He's asking the Lord. Because no one can make a better arrangement than the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
In the one purport, Prabhupada talks about having equal age between the husband and the wife. What does he actually...
Not equal age, equal nature. Okay. Equal age you never use. If it works out that way, okay. As long as the nature is equal enough, it doesn't matter. Like I know one couple where the wife was older than the husband. Because he was just so, by nature, so much more mature for his age. So it worked. You know what I'm saying? So, and she was one of the heaviest ladies I've ever seen. Right? I once saw in an argument, you know, she wasn't a big lady. And she took on a huge German martial artist in an argument. Like that. He was in charge of something and like that, and she didn't like the way he did it, and she just started like that, and didn't matter. Heavy lady. But I've seen him, no matter how heavy she gets, just one or two words, just bring her into control. She becomes peaceful and everything. So that's equal match. So, but that's not standard. So standard is there should be more age. Because if the man is not better at things than the woman, why is she going to respect him? You know, it's like, that's the whole point. If she can't respect, then... So it has to be she can try every way, shape, and form from all directions to disrespect, but he can pull it into line and make it work. Then she's comfortable. Otherwise, if she can control him, then what's the point? You know, okay, that part of the game's over, now what? But if you can never control completely, you know, that doesn't mean he's independent in the way of he's not considerate. That means he's considerate, taking care, but she doesn't actually have that control. That's what then creates the mystique. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, so those are other details. But here it's talking about the mentality. the like-minded mentality. So he's a great yogi, and as we see, that's mentioned. She's also a great yogi in the Astanga Yoga system. Doesn't say she's good at, you know, standing on her head or pranayama. She's good at the Astanga Yoga system, the whole thing. So that means she also has the mystic cities and everything. So he has the mystic cities, and as we'll see, he'll use them to make her happy. Make that. So this is like-minded. Right? Like disposition. Other things don't work. I mean, previously in India, it was very interesting. Many times you'd see, it was very common to see couples, Indian couples, and you'd think that they were brothers and sisters. Because their nature was so similar, they actually looked the same. You know? It was very interesting to see that. You know, I mean, look the same as means like brothers and sisters, maybe like twins, that kind. They look so similar. Just because the nature was so much the same and everything like that, they just look the same. Is that what it says? That's not important. I'm just saying that is because it was just they'd work it out so well that, you know, the everything was the same. So basically the karma is the same, so they even had the same features. But that's not essential point. The point is the disposition is the same. So that disposition matches. Then, like Mataji says, with time, they will become the same. Anyway. Does that make sense? Yeah. Remember the points on disposition.
So how to make astrological match if often in this age... We don't know like exact time of the...
How exact are you talking about?
As far as I know, like even 10 minutes make difference.
Yeah, in the moon, but not in anything else. You know what I'm saying? The moon moves. The other things are pretty much there. Saturn takes, what is it, 27 years, 29 years to even go around once. You know, so he's not going anywhere. Right. He used to go somewhere in 10 minutes, but then Ravana took care of that. Is it Ravana? Yeah, Ravana. You understand? So don't get into those trips. You know, oh, we can't do it, therefore we'll totally throw it out. Oh, I ran out of petrol, so we'll just leave the car on the side of the road and not take cars anymore for the rest of my life. You going to do that? Oh, the toaster's not working. I have to bang it. Let's throw it out. No, you keep it. Everything else you keep that's from your own conditioning, you keep. But anything that comes from Vedic, if it doesn't quite perfectly work, then we throw it out.
So even if you can approximate your time of the birth.
Did you realize my point when I said it's about disposition? How is this going to disposition? Because the whole point is when are you going to check the charts? When are you going to check the charts? After 6 months, after the two think, wow, we'll make a great couple and they're interested, then you check the charts? And then you find out that it's not a match?
Well, I thought that the charts are being checked before, you know, people get together.
Yes, it is. But who does that?
Well, astrologer.
Astrologer does that, but which couples do that? It's always, let me check it out first, and if it's good, then we'll check the charts.
Well, that's how it's supposed to be.
It is, that's how it's supposed to be, but we're talking about how to make supposed to be happen. Does that make sense? So unless people value it, nobody does it. Because, oh, I don't know within 10 minutes, so it doesn't mean anything, so we'll just check because we're the real authorities on whether we match. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Basically, any boy, any girl, you know, getting together for the first time, it's always exciting. So it doesn't matter who they are, you know, unless they're really not matched well. But if they're kind of ballpark, then, hey, it's a go.
No, this is not my attitude. I was just asking, you know, how reliable that would be. Because sometimes mothers, they they say, oh, it's probably like you were born at, 12:15 or 12:30, I can't tell exactly. And from, like, I attended some...
You're from which country?
From Russia.
Yeah, okay. Then that answers it right there. You know what I'm saying? For the country that's most amazed by mysticism, they're the most, you know, strong to throw everything out and work in absolutes here, you know, so. You know what I'm saying? So we're talking about the Vedic culture here. We're not talking about the Russian interpretation of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The point is, this is the standard. You get as close as you can, because the only thing that's going to change in 10 minutes is the moon. And you're talking about a couple of degrees, maybe. So it's not a big deal. You can look at other things to then balance that. So astrologers say that. I would say that those astrologers should not have been giving that seminar that you went to. Astrology is more than math. And it's more than looking at books for, you know, a year and that, and then now you're the Acharya. And why are they giving the seminar? Because you're going to pay money, that's why. Not that they know or give a damn about the science and about putting together. They just want the sense of control. I know what's going on. When they don't know diddly. You know what I'm saying? Therefore. Okay? Thank you. Yes?
Marat, about this principle of light disposition, can you say that it is a perfect thing, even between a student and teacher, your disciple?
Yeah, no, everything's like that. Everything, that's why Rupa Goswami mentions like-minded. Because the point is all devotees are, you can say, like disposition in that they're interested in serving and pleasing Krishna. So that way, all devotees you could do service with and sadhana with and that. But in the way of personally revealing the mind and those things, the dapti prati grinati guhya makiti prichati bhunkte bojayate, that you do with those who are like-minded. But as far as service goes, that's the point, is that Krishna consciousness is the actual international society. Right? There isn't really anything else that's international. But this is that from anyone from anywhere it can function. Does that make sense? So on the general thing, all devotees, you know, anywhere you go, it's your place. You go into any temple, it's home. Right? It doesn't matter where it is. But as far as closeness or intimacy, that will be more based on closeness of nature. Does that make sense? Only because you could say, reveal your mind to anybody, but they may not understand what you're saying, and so it won't go work nicely. That's why it's, you know, one could say, no, but we're devotees. Yes, the soul is the devotee, but the conditioning is the conditioning. You know what I'm saying? You know, just like we said here, is that this particular mentality of being overly overwhelmed by the mystical elements and then taking them as the most important element over practicalness and devotion, then it's it's very particular as a broad thing from that particular part of the world. You know, you just shift over one country and it's a completely different, you know, out of balance. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just you move over one country. And then it's totally, then it's all sentiment, right? You got the Black Madonna and all this and that. And, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, Mother Chai, it's just a rasa. Then you go one country again and it's like machines. You know, one country again and it's all, ooh la la. You know? You know, so it's just, that's the thing, is each one you just move over and it's, so that's the thing, is each one has its uniqueness. So the only thing that really binds together is Krishna. You know, so, but the nature is there, and it's that. But the Vedic can accommodate all this. That's the thing. The Vedic can accommodate. You just have to know how to apply it. If we put our own perspectives on it, then we'll always find a shortcoming. But if we don't, then we approach in a balanced way, then we can make it work. Because there's no such thing in the material world as perfection. So like-minded, like disposition. It didn't say exact disposition. Because it's like, you get it as close as possible. So therefore, the astrology mentions, if it's 50%, then it's okay. But then the lower it is, the harder the couple has to work. Does that make sense? And then it's a matter of figuring out what is there. Just like, let's say there was someone, they had 70%, okay, which is not bad. It's a pretty good average, percentage of being like mine. But the area where it was dissimilar was in the mind and emotions. And the person involved was a very emotional person. It's all based on their emotions and interactions. So therefore, it just, they were advised, don't go ahead with this. Because the area that's most important to you is the one that's weak. You understand? The whole point is if it says 70, that means 30% is not common. So if it's areas that you don't care, that's not a problem. You know, I think, because the point is if there's a basis that it works, like I was always, it was interesting when I was in Hungary, then I saw somebody, and then, the next year I see, I kept seeing the two people. After a while, a couple of years, then we figured out that they're married, right? And so then what it is, because they both are busy at jobs, so they work it out that when there's a festival, then one comes and the other one takes care of everything else, and then the next time the other one does. Right? And so to be able to do that, then they would have to have a very good relationship, because they had very different interests and everything, but the commonality of how they would think, feel, value, that was the same. But their interests in, activities and that was very different. But they could accommodate. I do this, they do that. They're happy doing that, I'm happy doing this. So that's very, that's a much higher developed, just like you see it in like the Indians, they even saw it in the Asians. They would go to, it means, it's like, just as, this is very, not so much cliche, but... No, not deja vu. Maybe cliche. Huh? It just means you're categorizing a lot, but it's very common. So we're just pointing out a very common element. The Western family goes to the temple. Everybody has to be together. Everybody's got to be doing the same thing. Then they went to the temple. They did something together. Right? Then, but I've seen the Indians and the Asian families, they go to the temple. As soon as they basically get in front of the temple, they all hurry ball and they all go to different places. And they may not even see each other for the whole time, because one goes to the kitchen, one goes to the kirtan, one goes and does something else, and they all have their friends and everything. And then afterwards, when it's time to go, they all get back together and they're all talking about what a great time they had at the temple together. Right? You understand? So that's the thing, because the underlying is so strong that the individuality can be very different. While generally in the first world, if you do anything different, it's, like four friends go to the restaurant, three order the same thing, one orders different. It's like, why do you order that? So then what's the basis of that? The insecurity, because either he's an idiot, and what's he doing here because he ordered that, or he ordered some good and the three of us are idiots. So until they work that out, then it's a problem. So they just order the same thing and then everybody's happy. You understand? Because they can't handle the difference because the foundation is not strong. So that's the thing in the Vedic concept. The foundation is strong, therefore the difference in nature, they can be quite different, but their disposition is the same. So the principle is the same. They're the detail. They're unique individuals. So that's what we're talking about here. And that's what's not known in the modern scenario. Like-minded means they do everything together. But there's some things they do together and some things they don't. So if they do everything together, great. But as long as the foundation is strong, then the details are similar, then also easier. But if the foundation is strong and the detail is different, it doesn't matter. But if the detail is the same and the foundation's not, it's still not going to work. Right? It means you go to any club, they don't fight. But they're all doing the same thing. They're all skiing or skateboarding or, you know, playing chess. But it's not that they don't fight and there's not politics. Does that make sense? Yeah, because someone else, they're playing chess just for fun. The other guy, this is serious. Why don't you take this seriously? It's just a game. What do you mean it's a game? You know, it's like, you know, it's just like, it's chess. You know, come on. Is that what it is? So that's the problem. You know? So you have to, so if the detail's not enough, but that's what's looked for in the modern. You know, it's just like, you know, what do you like to do? You know, I like to go to the movies. Oh, yeah, so do I. What movies do you watch? You know, I like horror movies. Oh, I hate horror movies. Okay, that's it. Finished. You know, or, hey, how are you? Yeah, great. Yeah. Ooh, he's got a wart. You know, finished. And that's real. I remember hearing a bunch of the cheerleader level girls once. Somehow or another standing there. They were talking about, hey, you know, what happened? Wow, that great guy, you know, this and that. Nah, I don't, you know, why? What? I found he had a wart. And they all go, oh. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, of course. You don't want to keep, you wouldn't want to keep a guy like that. You know, so, you know, this is, it's a reality out there. So that's the thing, is it's the that common nature, the basis is the same, then it works. Then the more common the detail is, the better. But if these principal things aren't in place, so that's what astrology checks. It checks whether the principal things are in place. But the point is everybody's unique individual. It's never going to be 100%, because even in the chart, you get it as perfect as it can get. It won't get better than 92%. That's the highest rating you can get. You cannot get above 92%. Right? So, you know, Shiva, Parvati, right? They're 92%. Right? Therefore, you see a little bit of, you know, there has to be something, otherwise it gets boring, you know. Like, you know, living with yourself in the mirror, you know. Hey, are you looking good today? Yeah. You know, like that. You know? Does that make sense? So there has to be something, just for flavor. Does that make sense? And even like disposition, certain things have to be opposite. Right? Astrologer explained, if it's not opposite, it's like sitting in a room with yourself. Do you talk? You know, maybe some people may talk, but as a general thing, you don't spark up conversations. So that's why some things you look for exactly opposite. Because when somebody's inspired to talk, the other one's not, so that will make them, and then when they're not, this one will be. So that way there'll always be interaction. So like-minded there means that's opposite. But other things, it's got to be the same. Does that make sense? So it's a science. So that's been worked out long before, you know, like that. In the primary creation, it's already been worked out. You know? So, you know, yeah, you don't have to. So that's the thing, is then we just have to understand it and then according to our ability apply it. You know, like I said, they're going to ask these little things. You know, what do you like to do? Sport. Are they going to ask how many kids you want to have? Do you want to have kids? How many kids? Right? Is that what you're going to ask? The first time the boy and girl get together, these are the questions they're going to ask. Now, if they can ask those questions and sincerely give the answers, you got a match. But their whole thing, no, we'll wait and all this and that. Then they get attached. Just anything gets attached. And they never ask these, because now they're attached, and that'll work out perfectly. Then they find out the other one didn't want kids, or wants kids. One wants only one kid, the other one wants 10. You know? That's a problem. You know? So that's why you go. You know, the family, they got 10 kids. They match their kid up with another family that's got 10 kids. So of course you have 10 kids. You know? So it might be 9, it might be 12, but it's, you know, it's you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Does that make sense? It's a science. Yes.
Just to clarify, the meaning of the words in light disposition is simply seen as light nature?
Yes. But here it's more like attitude, how they view. Because attitude is where your attraction lies. Attraction lies in attitude, as prajumna. So that aspect is there. And that means then there's a basis of common knowledge, common goals, common endeavors. Right?
And what you just mentioned about, I wanted to previously ask you a question. Sometimes it seems that opposites attract each other, but you just mentioned that sometimes opposites can attract.
No, opposites always attract. Male and female are opposite.
I mean more
any quality that's there in the male, the female will be the opposite of that. Then you move to the next one, it'll reverse. It's always opposite. You know what I'm saying? But that's why it has to be like disposition. So we're not talking about the same. Western ideas, they should be the same. Vedic idea, they should be compatible. Just like a hammer and a nail, they're compatible. They're not the same. No, like disposition is being compatible. You know, a bowl and a spoon. Now, if I had two bowls, you know, it's time for soup. I give you two bowls. Is it going to work? No, what about two spoons? Huh?
This is worse.
Yeah. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it has to be what's compatible, not what's the same. So that's the thing. We look for what's the same. No, you have to look for what's compatible.
How do you do that? I was going to say, the boy and the girl in the West, they'll look when they're first meeting or another.
Yeah, but why are they first meeting like that? What's the point? Okay, nice. If they have to arrange them themselves because they have no one else who will arrange it for them. You know what I'm saying? You know, I say we're looking at it, oh, this is restriction control. You have, let's say you have a, you know, just let's get out into some, even just some Western, you know, kind of theory here, okay? Is you have a princess, okay? Okay? Does she have any close associates? Like, you know, maidservants and others who are always with her and everything. Okay. Now, if she has a message she wants to give to a boy, does she do it herself or send those like that? Who does she send to find out things about the boy? She does it herself. She gets them to find out. Then, if it all looks good, then she'll make the contact. Right? And then, if it's a prince, he's doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's right there under your nose. That's why princes and princesses get together. Right? Because they have these methods. They work it out. You know what I'm saying? So that's the Vedic thing, is you have people that care for you. Therefore, they're involved in trying to arrange things. They're not trying to control it. They're just trying to see that it works out nicely. You know, as time goes, you say, oh, well, that doesn't work. That's because people don't use it properly. They try to control. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it should already be, it looks like it's compatible already. Yeah. And that's why other people are involved. Therefore, you check charts and all that. And if it looks good, then they meet. And then their first discussions, other than pleasantry, should be about these details. If they have it within 3 days to a week, worked out all these details of how they're going to live, what kind of level of Krishna consciousness, where they're going to live, what kind of money, how they're going to spend their money, kids, education of the kids, discipline of the kids, how are they going to talk to their kids? You know what I'm saying? You know, or do they talk regular? Why do they talk? How do they deal with the kids? How do they keep the house? What are they going to? What size the house? These are the realities. If they haven't worked that out, like that, 3 days to a week, then it's not going to be a good arrangement. And if they can work that out, you got a solid arrangement. Now, it's still going to take that kind of couple a few years to really work out how to interact with each other. But because the basis is strong, they can do it. You understand? It's a science here. 75% divorce rate means lack of science.
I'm trying to understand.
Does that make sense? You know? And then we say, no, no, but this Vedic doesn't work. The modern works worse. Right? Before Star TV came along, basically marriages in India all worked very nicely. Yeah, well, I'm not joking. Because,
I don't know Star TV.
You don't know Murdoch? Yes, what to do? Uncultured. It just means when Western television came in, then they start to do. I saw some people talking about something. I said, why are you doing that? Because they saw it in the soap operas. And they thought that's how you're supposed to behave. You're supposed to create arguments. They just do that so that you watch the show. But they think this is the way you're supposed to do, you know? They thought this is real, you know. So that's the thing, is that before that they just went what's the Vedic standard and what their parents did and everything like that, and now it's like, oh, you got to be modern. So modern, they don't get along. Modern, you get divorced. Modern, you do all this. So we're being modern. So we're. Does that make sense? One of the more touchy points. Okay. So if one has a nice wife, he's considered a most fortunate man. Not that he has money, not that he has power, prestige, anything. He has a good wife. So that means there's many people in the world who are very fortunate, but your normal society wouldn't consider them to be. And all the people they say, these are the fortunate people, they're actually not very fortunate. Right? Does that make sense? Like I think, was it Howard Hughes? I don't think there was a lady there. Right? You know? I say, one of those machines that takes out the bacteria in the air? Yes. You understand? So that's the difficulty. Kardama Muni continued. So, in other words, his whole process here is how I can become fully Krishna conscious, but I have material desire. So, by living together, cooperating with a wife, we can take care of these desires and then come to the point of being fully God conscious. That's the whole point of the Grihastha Ashram. But it's not that it's going to be fabulous and wonderful. It's going to have its moments, of course. Right? And for the soul, happiness is always more important than distress. Therefore, we, you know, ignore the, how you say, the you know, the proportions. Because the soul is more impressed by a happy moment. One happy moment, you know, gets rid of so much distress. So therefore it works. But the point is in doing that you start to see is that for the soul there's nothing there. And nothing there means nothing there in the material world. So if you run Grihastha Ashram properly, then you understand there is nothing in the material world. It's not that, okay, there's nothing here with this, you know, family. No, it's there's nothing in the material world. Because it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, the experience is the same. Does that make sense? Like that. So any species of life, any place, any situation, the combination between husband and wife and trying to fulfill their desires in dharma, artha, and kama is the same. It's not that I have more money, my experience is better. No, you have more money, so therefore it works on that level. So you understand? If I'm talking here, this looks big. But if I move this line up to here, I have a little more money, I have a little more less money. I'm down here, it's a little more money, a little less money. You know? Does that make sense? I'm powerful. I put it here, but in this you know thing in the meeting, I won, but the next one I lost. So he's more powerful than this guy, but within the realm of power, he's still just getting by. Does that make sense? So you take anything like that. You know, the person's beautiful, okay? But you put them in that category of beauty, then someone else has, you know, their eyes are a little better, but this one's hair is a little better, and this one, their fingernails are better, and, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. You take any of these six opulences, then it's going to be... So that's the whole point. A smart person, no matter what position they're in, then from that can understand the whole nature of the whole material existence. And from that, they can give it up and go back to Godhead. So that's why lightened disposition, because that will be perfect for you. You try to get something else, it's not going to work. It really won't work. You're going to think, well, if I had more money, then I could be more. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's to do with your nature. Does that make sense? Your nature generates more money, then you'll have it. If it's not, you won't. Right? That's the way it is. That's why it says do your duties. You do your duties. King Yudhishthira does his duties. He's the emperor of the world. Right? When the independence came, and then the central government took over all the kingdoms, there was one kingdom, the size of the kingdom was 9,000 acres of land. That was the total kingdom. Right? You know, it's just like now. It's like Monte Carlo, excuse me. It's basically a rock, you know. That's it. I think it's 1.9 or 2.3 or something square kilometers. It's really not a whole lot, like that. You know. Of course, it's a good rock, but
it's like a country.
Yeah. But it's its own country. But it's somehow another. You know. So you have things like that. They're I even think it's a Isle of Man, is its own entity. But its politics and its defense is controlled by England, like that. But it's its own country, its own government, own everything. You know. So the point is someone is that small of a king. He's performing his duties, and that's how big a king he is. And Yudhishthira is performing his same kingly duties, no different. And he's emperor of the world. Right? Another one's doing the same kingly duties. He is, you know, king of the universe as Indra. You understand? It's not that they do it. They get up in the morning, they take their bath, do their sadhana, go to court, hear all the different things like that, you know, check with the, you know, their ministers, check with the spies, spend time with the family and friends. That they do all do the same thing. So that's the whole point. You do your duties, then whatever you're supposed to have, you'll have. You want more, it's not going to happen. So know your duties, then, you know, have proper compatible relationships, make friends and, you know, closeness with those who are like-minded, and everything goes well. But then you actually have a full taste of what the material world is. Then, understanding that in connection with Krishna consciousness, then you give that up, go back to Godhead, you know, where things are real. You know, in the spiritual world, you can say BFF. Because there, forever actually is forever. You know? Here you can't. You know? It's a feeling. Because that feeling of friendship, you're connecting with Brahman, with the universal form, that the element of friendship in the universal form, you're connecting. So that's eternal. So as long as you're connected, you have that feeling. But as soon as you're not, it's not. Right? So that's the thing in the spiritual world. It is real. It is forever. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Kardama continued, "O my Lord, you are the master and leader of all living entities. Under your direction, all conditioned souls, as if bound by rope, are constantly engaged in satisfying their desires. Following them, O embodiment of religion, I also bear oblations for you, who are eternal time." 16. The substance of Kardama Muni's attitude is in Srila Prabhupada's purport to text 16. So this is text. Huh? Smaller, yeah, I was just thinking you said, okay. In the Katha Upanishad, it is stated that the Supreme Lord is the leader of all living entities. He is their sustainer and a warder of all their necessities and desires. No living entity is independent. All are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Vedic instruction is that one should enjoy life under the direction of the Supreme Leader, the Personality of Godhead. Right? So, enjoying is not the problem. It means we're talking about going back to Godhead, and we're talking about the happiness that's there is unlimited compared to, you know, liberation, which is unlimited compared to what you can get around here. Right? So, happiness is not the problem. It's just whether that happiness is in connection with the Supreme or not. If it's not connected to the Supreme, the soul, being Ananda, is going to eke out something. Right? But the living entity in connection with the Supreme, since the Lord is unlimited, that means the happiness gained from happiness connected to Him will be unlimited. Right? That's the principle. That makes sense? Yeah? Vedic literatures like Ishopanishad direct that since everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should not encroach upon another's property, but should enjoy one's individual allotment. Right? So that's it means we'll say, oh, stealing's bad, but what's the real reason? Oh, it causes inconvenience, it's this, it's not nice. You know, there's a lack of a sense of work ethic. You know, you could come up with so many nice social points. But the real point is that it all belongs to Krishna. And since it belongs to Krishna, then you have your allotment within what belongs to Krishna. So then taking more than your allotment, that's what's wrong. Does that make sense? Because you can say, oh, but you're taking another's property. It's not their property. It's just like it's not yours. Right? The real thing is, does this make sense? In other words, all points that people value on the platforms of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha are all valid because of their connection to the Lord. And they become illusion when they're not connected to the Lord. So all these platitudes lose out when they're not connected to the Lord. Does that make sense? Like, you should be nice with people. So the main thing is, you're supposed to be nice. It's just the cultured thing to do, and we're all here together, and then we have the great, you know, the world family. You could go on and on and on with that. But the point is everybody's a servant of Krishna. Everybody's part and parcel of Krishna. That's why you're supposed to be nice to them. Do we see the difference? So the point is devotee has all the godly qualities. Right? Because everything's connected to the Lord. And then the materialist may be good in one place, not in another. They're good this life, next life they're not. So it's not fixed, because these qualities don't remain, because these qualities are Krishna's qualities. You're connected to Krishna, you have it. Right? Just like the machine has electricity if it's plugged in. So that's the whole thing. We're connected with all these qualities when we connect to the Lord. We don't connect, then by our karma, then Krishna arranges that you get for a short time, and then they go away. That's the whole thing. So, yes?
At the spiritual level, the living entity and Krishna, they have the same disposition.
Yes. Yes, they have the same disposition. So, it means that all levels, the Lord and the living entity, get along, because it's just like this. He's Satchit Ananda. We're Satchit Ananda. You don't get more like disposition than that. You know? Just he's unlimited Satchit Ananda, while we're, you know, very finite Satchit Ananda. But the same quality, right? Quantity is different. Now, when we connect with him, then then are experiencing that unlimited aspect. Does that make sense? You can say, well, how is that possible? Because it's not ours. We're looking at mine, you know, so it comes into me and I fill up, and then at some point you explode like the frog. Right? But the point is how much electricity is going through something? You have a wire. How much electricity is going through? You understand? Huge amounts of electricity.
because it's not theirs. As soon as they want to claim it as theirs, then how much electricity can fit in that much space? Does that make sense? Nothing flows. It's full. If it's not yours, it keeps going. So that's the thing. Krishna's unlimited qualities are there in the living entity as long as you're connected to the unlimited. Right? Does that make sense? And so that platform is what we're discussing, is that's what Pipalayanan are discussing on Tapaloka. They're experiencing that. It's very wonderful. But here's then, we're talking about that aspect connected to the Lord as a person and that personal interaction. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then that's... It was also, I was just thinking, that their ability to see the Lord, interact with the Lord, you know, within the mind, like that, is only possible because they're on the liberated platform. If you're not liberated and you try to do that, then it's not reality, it's a concoction. Only if you're liberated, then in the mind, you can actually do things. Does that make sense? Like ourselves in the conditioned state, then we remember those who are doing. So if within your mind you're thinking about how Krishna and Radharani and the other devotees are all interacting and serving, and you're appreciating that service and feeling, I would like to do that kind of service. That's fine, that meditation. But if you think, I'm doing this service, I'm doing that, that's the haja. So only if you're liberated, then you can actually contemplate, because then you're actually there in the spiritual platform. Then you can actually do the services. Does that make sense?
That would be the difference between Vastu City and Swarup City.
Yes, Swarup City means you're doing it through meditation, but it all, yeah, like that. Means it's your actual spiritual form, but you're engaging it through meditation. Does that make sense? Vastu City means there is no connection here anymore. Right? So in other words, Swarup City, then we would call that the person's on the platform of you know, Baba, like that. Vastu City, we would say that they are dead. No, not Prema. It just means they're not here anymore. So Swarup City means you're going back and forth. Vastu City means you go there, you don't return. Yeah, like that. Does that make sense? So it's the same position. It's just a matter of whether you have the connection here or, you know, maintaining that or not. Does that make sense? Yeah? You know, and then someone from there, when they come here, that's another, they're already on the platform of Vastu City. You know, like Prabhupada comes here, he's on that platform. But like Sridhar Maharaj, he used to say when he's talking with devotees, he'd go quiet and all that, and then someone asked a question, he'd always mention how he has to come back to answer the question. Huh? Well, it depends how big our is. Our meaning Gaudiya, yes. You understand? So he was on the platform of Swarup City, but not on the platform of Vastu. You know, Prabhupada, they talk differently. Like that. You understand? It's like the difference between the married women and the teenagers. You know what I'm saying? The married women don't talk so much about these things. The teenagers always about this, you know. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's where you see where somebody is situated. You know, just by Shastra. It's not that we have the ability to say, oh, he's on this, you know. We're not doing like the residents of Tapaloka are doing. It's just Shastra defines these things, then you can see this is where the person is. Does that make sense? So then... Like that. So that's, does that make sense? So that's your difference. Yes.
And another point. We keep forgetting that everything is for Krishna, you know, all the basic even points of philosophy. Mm-hmm. So can we say that this illusion or ignorance is quite prominent up to the level of Nishtha, maybe?
You can say it's more prominent. Nishtha is, like we were saying, is it goes, it's only 25%. Does that make sense? But before Nishtha, you could say that it's, you know, it will be 40% and upwards. Because 40% means you're just coming to the point of just coming into nishta. Right? The center of nishta will be 75. Right? Beginnings at 60. So that means 40% still anartha. Does that make sense? And so then it, you know, it goes on down. Does that make sense? So that's an art that by through association, by having faith in association of devotees performing devotional practices, that's what's going to move one from being unsteady in devotional service to being steady. Right. So it's not that anartha nivritti is specifically a separate endeavor. It's a natural consequence of sticking very firmly to that faith, association of devotees, and performance of devotional activity. Does that make sense? You're aware so that when they come up, you're aware to let them go, and so you're conscious. Right? You know, it's just like there's control, like when yama niyama, very interesting, because in this section, Prabhupada's translating as, you know, generally we hear it as what you shouldn't do, what you should do. But here he's Prabhupada's been translating it as, control of the senses rather than what you shouldn't do. Control of the senses and then the practices. So that's what we're doing. We're controlling the senses, so that means you're following the regulative principles and you're performing the practices, so the sadhana bhakti that's given in the pancharatrika activities. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to have, there must be that awareness because you both have yama and niyama. But the focus is more on doing the niyama, right? Means what is the practices, as opposed to what you're supposed to avoid, right? You just, in other words, to do what I should avoid doing what I shouldn't. But it's not about avoiding, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes the devotees get too absorbed in anartha nivritti. I remember back in the, when that shredded the prema, was started becoming, the devotees were becoming very aware of it in the 90s, mid-90s. I remember in the late 90s, then like Govinda Maharaj, Shivaram Maharaj would very much strongly make the point, it's not about anartha nivritti. It's about developing prema, about developing pure devotion. Does that make sense? Because otherwise it was so much emphasis, but he can't do this, can't do that. You know, there was that whole scene about, remember there was a time when it's all about developing the mode of goodness. There was a book published on that. But it's not about that. Mode of goodness comes from performance of devotional service. So all these things, anartha nivritti is just a natural consequence of performing the devotional process. So it's not that anartha nivritti itself is its own process. Right? It's just the natural consequence of bhajana kriya. So the difference is, where we say bhajana kriya, this is what you're doing, but when you started at that point, that's called anishta bhajana kriya, not steady. Then when it becomes nishta bhajana kriya, we just call it nishta. Does that make sense? So anartha nivritti means anishta bhajana kriya, nishta means nishta bhajana kriya. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of the focus. Because otherwise the tendency is to focus on the negative rather than on the positive. But that doesn't mean that we're naive and focus on the positive without understanding there is a negative. Was that? You could get the yellow one. Better, yeah. Yes.
Is it also sahajya to, in the mind, worship the deity, the service
to the deity? No, if it's standard stuff, mm-hmm. that's part of the pancharatrika process.
Yeah.
Because it's the deity, but you transfer that way in the spiritual world, skipping along with Krishna, that's sahajya. So Krishna's come as the deity where you can relate, serving that deity, then that works. You know? Does that make sense? But if in your mind the deity's saying, hey, how are you today? Then that's a problem. Right?
In other words, she was jumping from the baskets.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he wants to go out with you to pick flowers. You know. Like, the, you know, when you go, it swings, so it's like jula. You know, yeah, that's the hajj. Standard stuff, you know, asanam, swagatam, you know, padya, margya, machya, like this. That's standard. How you do it, you make it nice arrangements, make it more opulent, make it more, you know, flowers, whatever you like. That's standard pancharatra. Does that make sense? But to be involved in the pastimes, that's sahajya. So when you're liberated, that will happen automatically. If you're not liberated, it's not happening automatically. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just very clear. There's exact stages. And so that's why we were discussing yesterday. Know yourself. Self-realization means to know who I am. So because self-realization is a new concept to people. Right? Because they have a false idea of who I am. So the body, the mind, the intelligence is all that someone identifies with. And generally that means the body. And they have, and feelings are part of it. But they don't actually understand the mind, the intelligence, and the consciousness. So the four levels, it's only the first level is really understood, and there's a slight understanding of the second. Third just doesn't come into play. And fourth, you know, forget that. You know, does that make sense? So, self-realization means who are we? Because ultimately being the soul, but the soul is conditioned. So these first three are there because of conditioning. But they should be in support of the fourth, which is actually the soul proper, the consciousness. Does that make sense? Then the whole thing works. Then you can establish varnashram, like this we're discussing, about have a proper relationship between husband and wife, with the children, with the society. All these things, because you understand what tools I have. Does that make sense? Yeah, otherwise then it becomes a problem. Yeah. So it's all part of self-realization. So realizing where we are from Shraddha to Prema, then that also is helpful. It's not a big deal, because the point is, everyone starts with Shraddha and everyone ends in Prema. You know, so it's just a matter of where you are in between, because if you say, well, I'm on Prema, then how are you going to get there? Because you're already there. You know, so you won't get there. You know, like if I'm sitting here and saying, yes, I'm in New York, you know, am I going to get there? No. Yeah, so that's the whole thing. It's not going to happen. Does that make sense? Yes.
Now we hear about how the soul is located in the region of the heart.
Right.
As far as the mind intelligence and false ego, does it have any physical location?
Mind intelligence and false ego. It's also in the heart. It means that's where it is. Everything's in the heart. It uses the mechanics of the brain, but it's in the heart. Just like the life airs, you want to pick up something. So the life air moves down the arm, and so therefore you pick it up. So the life air uses the arm to grab something. So the mind intelligence and false ego and the consciousness is situated in the heart, and then they use whatever aspect of the body is necessary. That's why the Prabhupada points it out when you have Daksha. When he lost his head, right? They put a goat head on, but he was still the same Daksha, right? Yeah, he did. Okay, I'm not sure his wife appreciated the goatee, but you know, like that. And so, but he was thinking the same in everything. So Prabhupada points out it's not the brain. The modern thing is in the brain. No, it's in the... You know, you can say, no, but if something happens to the brain, then it doesn't work. But that's because it happens to anything. You cut off your arm, then it doesn't work to pick things up. It's not that the life airs aren't there. It's just that there's nothing for it to go through. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I heard like a question when I was telling a person that the soul actually and the personality resides in the heart. They asked, what about heart transplantation?
Like, how about what?
Like transplanting, like, you know, they have...
But that's the heart, not the chitta. The chitta means here, not the muscle. The muscle, when we say heart, we means here.
Oh, okay. So it's not the physical, like,
heart? No, nothing to do with that. That's just, that's a muscle, that's an organ.
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
Like that. Huh?
Is it the heart chakra?
Yeah, it's in the chakra. Yeah, the life air is just here, behind the breastbone. Okay? Yeah. Chocolate. It's just a matter of which is more interesting, chocolate or the chakra?
Both.
Or a chakra of chocolate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why, if you go by the Vedas, then it's authority, it works. Otherwise, you go, because it's very close, because the soul being there, the blood passing through, picks up the consciousness from the soul, then it's pumped around the body. That's why you're conscious of your body. The consciousness moves in the blood. That's why if you hold something for a while, you can't feel it, because the blood doesn't go there, so you're not conscious of it. That's all. It's quite simple. Okay. The best program for every living entity is to take direction from the Supreme Lord and enjoy material or spiritual life. So here is that you enjoy one or the other. You understand? You generally don't try to do both at once. You know, it's like trying to put your foot in two boats. You know? So unless you're very practiced in either ballet or martial arts, it's not going to work out good. Right? So the thing is if you're enjoying spiritual life, material life goes as good as it's going to be. And you enjoy material life, then all that endeavor, it's gone with that lifetime. You got to start again next lifetime. So the same endeavor, you can perfect spiritual life. And then whatever is supposed to happen, you'll get in material life anyway. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, what you get now, it has nothing to do with your work now. So it's not, I work harder, I'll get better. You can work harder and get in the future, but not now. Right? Like that. So that's why we work for Krishna consciousness, and then whatever's due to us from past, we're going to get that anyway. That's all we're going to get. Right? It's like the guy works much harder at his job and makes so many more contracts and impresses the boss and moves up in the country, but he's still going to be hit by the same Mack truck. Does that make sense? It's not going to make any difference. That wasn't too... That made sense? Just suddenly everyone went, huh? Okay. No, that's not going to change that.
But his material situation might change.
But in the future. But what's coming from previous work is still going to be the same. It's not that, okay, he was supposed to be hit by a Mack truck, but because he moved up in the company and he's really become a high flyer, now he's going to be run over by a Maserati. No, it's still going to be a Mack truck. And if he really works at it, then it might be a Lamborghini or Ferrari.
I'm not talking about what he's run on, but what his material situation would be up to that point.
Up to that, that means what you're enjoying right now is from the past. So there's nothing you can do about the present by your endeavor now. It's going to be in the future. So when that fruit's going to come, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? So that six-bedroom house, when that will come, you don't know. You're making the endeavor, but, you know, it may not come. But what you have now, that's from the past. So since you have to make that endeavor for the future, why not make that future Krishna conscious? So I endeavor in Krishna consciousness, right? And I'm performing my duties, and so my duties generate whatever facility I'm supposed to have. Does that make sense? So it's not because I'm going out and working hard, that's why I have my facility. Because some people work twice as hard and have less, and others work half as much and have, you know, more. Does that make sense? So it's you perform your duties and whatever is supposed to come, that's you're satisfied with that. Because it's not that more work will get more. Does that make sense? Yeah. But that's the point of why you have to do your duties, because whatever is your duties, you're doing that fully. Prabhupada said we should work at least as hard as the karmis. Right? So that commitment and that endeavor, we perform our duties, then whatever we're supposed to get, we'll get. But we're not doing it to get the material things. We're doing it to please Krishna. So because, in other words, mechanics are going to generate their results. You know what I'm saying? You just look like, I'm cooking a potato sabji. At the end of the cooking, I will have a potato sabji. But I'm not trying to get a potato sabji. I'm trying to please Krishna. So I'm getting the spiritual benefit, and at the same time, I'm getting a potato sabji. Well, for the materialist, they're just trying to get a potato sabji, and that's all they get. So for the same endeavor, you can go back to Godhead, or, you know, it's good for one meal. You know? Like that, you know, it's your choice, your call. Right? You know, so that's the whole thing. Does that make sense? And there's a good chance that you're cooking for someone else, you do a better job than if you cook for yourself. Like that. So, does that make sense? So you'll actually end up with a better potato sushi. No?
Yeah.
I'm still working on being able to cook if I'm the only one eating and it's actually edible. It's very hard.
It's very simple. Huh? Make simple.
The simple, but still, even just the, you know, the simpler it is, the simpler you want it to be.
Restaurant.
Huh?
There is restaurant for people.
Yeah. That's true. You may not go to a fancy restaurant yourself. The question may be raised, since Kardama Muni was advanced in spiritual life, why then did he not ask the Lord for liberation? Why did he want to enjoy material life in spite of his personally seeing and experiencing the Supreme Lord? The answer is that not everyone is competent to be liberated from material bondage. It is everyone's duty, therefore, to enjoy according to his present position, but under the direction of the Lord or the Vedas. The Vedas, right? So, in other words, this element sense, that idea to enjoy is the prominent aspect. Then do it in connection with the Lord. As we see later, as we'll go, it's not about that. You know, it'll start shifting more to the detachment. But that's naturally, by doing devotional service, knowledge and detachment arise, that becomes the problem. Just like if you perform karma yoga, it will with time turn into jnana yoga. Right? It's just natural. But the point is it's not artificial. So if we're at karma yoga, you perform karma yoga. And then when it's at jnana, you perform jnana yoga. Because you can't perform jnana yoga if you haven't performed the karma. So if you see someone is naturally performing jnana yoga without the karma, that means they did it previously, in previous lifetimes. So it's no one. There's no shortcut. The only shortcut is devotional service. Right? Yes.
So what is the meaning of Srila Prabhupada saying, act according to your realizations?
Yes. So that's the point, is that your realization is, I can connect my life to Krishna, then you act on that platform. Is that make sense? So whatever your life means, then that's what you do. So if that life is karma, gyan, or dhyan, it does, or any combination, because it's always a combination. But it's just, what's the prominent? Like a jnana yogi, still there's going to be karma and dhyan. A karma yogi, there's still going to have, he has to have knowledge and meditation. Jnana yogi, there's still karma and jnana. But it's just the prominence. Does that make sense? You know, if I take, depending upon the prominence, I take beans and wheat, I end up with, Batura and rajma. Or I end up with a burrito. It just depends upon your what the prominence. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's, otherwise, it's the same thing. You know? Yeah. So Yes, so that's Buddha Yoga. But they're studied separately so that you can understand the elements. But then this combination is going to be unique to every individual. That's why self-realization means you have to understand yourself to engage yourself. Others can help. You know, like probably gives the example of flying the airplane. Others can help give instruction and everything, but actual flying, you have to do it yourself. So that's the... And the thing is self-realization is the natural position of the soul. So it's not that it's artificial and all, but everybody can't do it. That's the one thing everybody can do. Everybody can be God-conscious and go back to Godhead. That's the one thing they do have in common, because that's the soul. But, you know, other things that we may desire within the material world, that, you know, we may be thousands of lifetimes away from. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
What's the difference between karma yoga and karma mishra bhakti?
Same thing. It's just whether you're talking about the connection to Krishna or what's not connected to Krishna.
Karma yoga, there is no connection to Krishna.
What does yoga mean?
Connecting with God.
Okay, and what does mishra mean?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're saying karma yoga can be just in pure devotion that I'm just connecting my activities to Krishna. But karma yoga can also mean that I have material desire, so those are, well, I'm trying to connect those to Krishna. So my karma yoga is mixed with karma meaning the material desire. So that's karma misra bhakti. Does that make sense? It's just a matter of which aspect you're bringing out. You know what I'm saying? Is it a car or is it a limousine? You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. Right? But if you're looking at, you know, let's say the social or other thing, you call it a limousine. If you're just talking about you got to get down to the corner store to pick up a, you know, whatever it is, then it's a car. Does that make sense? Right? The guy that drives around in it, it's a car. The guy he picks up in it is a limousine. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of whether you're looking at the yama or niyama. Does that make sense? Yes.
So in the example of Karma Muni, here he was attached to, he had a material desire, and after he renounced.
Yes.
So is it the principle when there is material desire, at one point or another we need to renounce?
It's not so much that we have to renounce, it will come naturally. If the process is followed, then it comes naturally. But without the knowledge that that's necessary, we may not make that endeavor. So when the opportunity comes, we don't take it.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know, it's just like Dhritarashtra and Gandhari are going to the forest. They ask Kunti if they want to go along. She goes. So that's the opportunity.
Yes.
Right? But, does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, if you're aware of it, then you take advantage when the opportunity arises. But you have to know what you're dealing with. Otherwise, you don't know, and then you think it should go on how it does. But it changes. Life changes. Right? We call it, what are those things called? The samskars in the English, they call it. Rites of passage, right? So that means you're going through stages in life. So it just means renunciation is also a natural stage in life. So you know that's there, then you take it when the opportunity comes up.
It is important to have a knowledge about all the state of life.
Yes, yes. You have to know what's going on. Just like Prabhupada's Ayurvedic doctor, we were sitting and talking once, and it somehow or another came up, I don't know about marriage and that, and he was talking about when he married to his wife. You know, it was one of these, you know, marriage was arranged and everything like that. And they got married and they just hung out as best friends. They didn't know what husband and wife meant. It's just that, you know, for a boy it's fun to be around a girl, and a girl around a boy, and nobody complains. You can be together and do everything together. And so one day his father had to call him over and tell him, you know, what it means, husband, wife, relationship, duties, and this and that, you know. So, is that what he's saying? So without knowledge, you don't actually move on. So he was married, but technically he wasn't, you know, like that. So because the mentality wasn't there. So if we understand what the knowledge, then when those situations come up, then we can take advantage. Then we actually do something. So by devotional service, knowledge and detachment naturally come. But as long as the duties are viable, then they're performed. When they're not viable or something else is better, then we make that switch. Because even you're performing a material activity, if you're detached, it comes out better than if you're attached. Right? Like that. So mistake is made sometimes that feels, I don't have that attachment, so I shouldn't be involved in household life. No, that's when it'll get better. They're thinking, I'm becoming detached, so therefore household life isn't very good. We're talking about those who aren't married that long. You know, we're not talking about, you know, they're in their 50s, 60s. We're talking about those in their 30s, 40s. You know? Yeah, I can't remember, but there's something that, you know, that glitter is gone. You know? Like that. But that's when you can then do better at it. Because before, you're only endeavoring because that glitter is there. But when that glitter goes away, then you can see for what it is, then you can really work with it. So that's the thing in the Vedic, is then it gets better. But in the Western, because it's all about the glitter, then, you know, there's no substance in their mind. But in the Vedic, the glitter is inspiring, but it's not the real substance. You know what I'm saying? So then you develop much closer as individuals. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Does that make sense? So that's the reason the Vedic culture is hard for the Westerners to comprehend, because it's opposite of what they do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes.
You just said that the process is followed correctly, a renunciation will naturally come.
Yes.
So, and Prabhu just mentioned that, you know, it's important for one to understand the different phases in one's life. So, renunciation is easy to achieve at certain phases in life. And
it means in that form. Renunciation can be obtained at any stage. The principle of sannyas, it's a principle. Then there's the form of sannyas. Does that make sense? The principle of sannyas is that whatever you're doing, it's not for you, it's for the Lord. It's for the principle of, there's no material motive, it's for spiritual development. So that means, like Kadharma Muni, he will be performing all his household duties from the position of that they're to please the Lord. That's actually sannyas. So having gone through a lifetime of performing grihastha ashram from the mentality of actual sannyas, therefore when it comes time to renounce, he can go. It's not that he leaves, goes to Vrindavan, is there, and after 10 years you see him riding by in a rickshaw with a new young Russian wife. Does that make sense? Yeah. We weren't being, how you say, what do you call it when you're selective to pointing out a particular thing? I was just talking about what happens. Okay? So does that make sense? So that's because it was a trouble. You know? Means the glitter's gone, so now he just sees the trouble. So then now he's thinking, now it's time to renounce. No, he's not renounced at all, because it wouldn't be trouble. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be trouble. It's just, that's the nature. That's how you deal. Does that make sense? You know, it means if you have a mechanic, the carburetor, something goes wrong, it's not a trouble. He knows the science. It's not that he's attached to that carburetor and that's why he's dealing with it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, because now he can clearly see the nature of the husband, nature of the wife, nature of the relationship. So now he can function very perfectly in it. And from that, then the wife will naturally take on that same mood. And so now they'll both perfectly work in that. So you won't see a better couple. Right? And then, if that's favorable all the way through, then they take vanaprastha together. Right? If something else is more favorable, then they take vanaprastha separately. Does that make sense? So it's just what's favorable. Right? Means Dhritarashtra went with his wife and got liberated. So he got out of the material nature, even though his wife is there with him. So that's not a problem, because both have that mood. Therefore also like disposition, because they were both able to renounce at the same time. Right? So if that happens together, they can do it together. If it doesn't, the wife would rather be with the grandchildren and all that, then she spends more time there. And he spends more time in other pursuits. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And then whenever it's favorable, they work together. And when it's favorable to work separately, they do that. Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. It's very individual. That's why I was saying before, this karma yoga, is that it's so perfect, it can accommodate karma misra up to pure devotion. The formula is the same. It's just a matter of whether the mix of material desire is prominent or it's not. Does that make sense? Yeah. But in any case, whatever it is, Kardama is addressing what attachments he has. And addressing those, then he is going about it in a way connected to the Lord. Therefore, he marries a like-minded girl. Everything goes very smoothly. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is that it's a science. It's not, you know, people, the Vedics don't deal with these things. No, they deal with it so much it's uncomfortable.
He's aware of his attachment as a business
owner. Yeah, he's aware of it. And so therefore deal. Just like if you're not aware that you're hungry, then why will you eat? So if you're aware that you have desire within family life, then you're going to make your best effort in family life. You know, otherwise, if you just think it's nice to be around girls, that, you know, okay, but girls also, you know, like guys that are worth being around. You know, they need the time to themselves. They need so many things. So if he doesn't accept the family life, then as these things, as it develops, then, you know, if it's all about himself, he's looking for someone who's going to feed him and take care of everything like his mommy did, then it's going to be a problem, especially when there's kids, and then she does that all for the kid. You know, then it's kind of like, you know, what happened to me? You know, like that. And so these are real serious problems, because it's not about family life. It's about themselves. Well, here, it's about he has this desire, so he's willing to enter into family life in which he can work out his desires while his wife is working out hers. They cooperate. That's the teamwork. They assist each other in, you know, whatever it is that's important for them. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. It's 50-50. That works. Most people aren't doing 50-50. That's why it doesn't work. Can we finish that? Yeah, no, I think that has more. Yes?
Want to ask more of a related question?
Not a related question, so why would you want to ask?
Well, it's because I have this question.
I mean, people have so many questions.
Well, it's kind of related. It's about.
I have a piece of lint. I have a piece of lint here on my glove. You know, it doesn't.
This is Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that there is no loss or diminution on this way, like when we make the spiritual progress. And yet we can see like people go to the festival, so they kind of have intense spiritual practice, and they got inspired, so that lasts for like 3 months, for example, and then eventually they kind of find themselves in a not so inspired state, and then they go probably again for the festival. So, I mean, for me it sounds familiar. I don't know, maybe for everyone else it's different. So, if there's no loss or diminution, then this inspired state.
Is that what's no loss or diminution?
Yeah, then we...
No, is that where you define it?
No,
I'm saying that's where you're defining it, but is that where the Shastra defines it?
Probably not. That's
why. Yes, the point is that spiritual activity done, the benefit of that remains. Anything you do materially, the benefit's lost. You eat lunch, after a few hours you're hungry.
Yes. So,
that's lost. But now the spiritual benefit from taking prasad, does that remain?
Yeah, so...
Okay, so that's your answer. So are you expecting that devotional service is going to result in perfection in your material experience?
No, my question is...
Because you're enthusiastic, but that's a feeling. But why are you enthusiastic?
Probably because of association with these devotees.
Okay, and then you go home and then you continue association, or now you go back into your little rut in the rat race?
A bit of that.
So,
a bit of both.
A bit of both. Okay,
yeah.
So therefore that's why you get a bit of both in results. Therefore you're not so inspired, but you are inspired enough to go to the next one.
So, okay, but if there's, like...
It's getting better.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just expected that, you know, if
spiritual
level...
Basically you're expecting that religion is going to make your material experience perfect. Because that's the whole idea. I go to the church, I do all my things nicely, and so therefore there'll be heaven on earth, goodwill to men, everyone will be wonderful and nice and all that kind of jazz.
No, I have a different question. Wait,
you have to understand. See, the first point is you have to understand what your question is.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, for example, the quality of my japa, I can see that it improves when I go to the festival.
Yes, but so you're pointing about, so what is it at the festival that is nice? It's the increase in absorption in the name, in the association of devotees. So now, outside of that, you're not making any endeavor like that. You made an endeavor to go to the what do you call it, Kirtan Mela, right? It's hard to remember because before it was just called sitting down and doing bhajan. So. Now it's got a name, right? So the Kirtan Mela, right? You made an endeavor, right? If it wasn't in your hometown, you booked a ticket, you got places to stay, you got money together, you made a whole endeavor. And you've gotten that result by being in the association of devotees, chanting very nicely, you got a very good result. But now, what's your endeavor on your daily japa? You're just expecting to live off the endeavor from previously. You know, it's like the guy comes home, brings the wife a flower, she's in ecstasy. He expects that to last eternally. Now, is that real or not? Is that realistic?
Well, this is material, right? We But spiritual shouldn't...
But what's spiritual? You're sitting there on your butt, making no endeavor to focus your chanting and remember about Krishna and about the devotees, and then you expect that because you made some physical effort before and got on a train, now everything's supposed to go nice.
So then, what's the meaning of that verse in Bhagavad Gita?
We already discussed that. The spiritual benefit of that kirtan mela lasts, but your material inspiration to focus on the name rather than thinking about your job or about your kids or about your mortgage. Right? That's why there's a festival. It's called Utsava. It brings you above the daily, just day-to-day grind in life. That's what it's for. So you see that there's more than your day-to-day life. But you're sitting there in your day-to-day life and expecting it's going to be the same. If you don't make the same endeavor, why will you get the same result? Because you're just sitting and chanting. You're not making an endeavor to focus, to do this, or to take advantage of association. That there is... shocking news. There is such a thing as being absorbed in the name and the association of devotees without a kirtan mela. It's a nice thing that you get together, but there is, every day the temple does quite a few kirtans a day. People in their homes are always doing kirtan. Whenever you move around the community, there's always somebody in somebody's houses have friends over and they're doing a kirtan. So where's the endeavor? You're not making the endeavor, so why do you expect there's going to be the results? That's like, I cooked dinner today, so now I don't have to cook dinner, you know, for the next 3 months until the next time I cook dinner. How does that work? It's a science. It's not just, you know, oh, it would be nice, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody, you know, there were no borders and... Nobody owned anything, and everybody was just happy together, and you know, one big family, and everybody shared everything. Wouldn't it be fabulous? You know, great, but now how are you going to make it happen? So just that feeling is not enough. That feeling, yes, you're touching the Lord and His qualities, but you're making that endeavor to touch that. And then the next moment, you know, they're saying you want one lump or two, and then you forget all about that. You know what I'm saying? So the point is on your daily japa, you're not making the endeavor. Therefore, you're not getting the results. By what you're talking about. Yeah. But what I'm talking about, the benefit you got, spiritual benefit from the kirtan mela, is still with you. Whether your japa is going great or not. You understand? Because you're looking at it, the material world's going to be perfect because I practice religion. And that's basically anybody who has some faith in religion, what they think like. You know what I'm saying? So that means religion is for getting benefits that I want. I'm happy chanting japa, so therefore religion should give me that happiness. But if you notice in this whole conversation, not once has Krishna and his relationship with him, his feelings, his thoughts in the matter come up. It's all about, I'm not getting the feeling, so something's wrong. That's because Krishna's not getting the feeling. You go, you make the endeavor, you're trying to be with Krishna and the devotees, therefore you're happy because Krishna's happy. You sit at home and expect that Krishna's going to take care of it all because I made the endeavor before. How is that going to work? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes, that's there. And so the point is, Krishna reciprocates. You have that same focus, and then it's there. But you're relying that the interest will come from somewhere else. That you're not trying to generate it. There's methods to generate it, right? How does Rupa Goswami define utsahan or enthusiasm? Right, in Upadeshamrita, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Okay. He defines it as endeavor with intelligence. So what endeavor and what intelligence are you using when you're sitting and chanting your japa? Now you made an endeavor, used your intelligence to go to the kirtan mela, to make sure you're sitting there. Okay, it's kirtan mela, I should sit and focus. I should hear. But are you doing that on a daily basis?
Well, I'm doing to some extent.
Yes, so then you're getting results to some extent.
Yeah.
I kind of cooked the vegetables, so it kind of came out good. I made an endeavor, it came out nice. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's a science here. This isn't just sentiment. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that you're from a culture that when it comes to occupation, it's total science. And when it comes to ashram, it's total sentiment. You understand? So you have to learn. Science is there in both. Okay?